Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Shvuot, Daf Dalad Amud Aleph, the second podcast. And we're going to pick it up in the middle of the Amud with B'mai Ukimta. At this point, we've established that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael, and that the liabilities that are listed in the Mishnah are not Korban, but rather are Makot. And we did that because we could not establish it as Rabbi Akiva, because then we'd have to say, in the context of Diyota Tuma, two of them are Patur Legamre. So Marot Negaim, my Malkotika. But if you're going to contend that the liability throughout the Mishnah is Makot, then what sort of Makot do you have for Marot Negaim? After all, that's just Tum'ah, and if you're Tamei and do something wrong, it's Karet. There's no Makot involved. So the answer is Bekotzeitz Baharto. There is a prohibition of cutting off your Tzarat. Based on Rabbi Avinu, Rabbi Lai, Rabbi Melaikum, HaKom Shenemar, Yisham, Erpen, Vial, Eno Elo Lo Tasei. Anytime you find a command in the Torah prefaced with the word Yishamer or Shmor, Pen, Lest, Vial, Do Not, that means it's a Lo Tasei. The Pasuk says, Yishamer b'negat tzarat. Be careful with the tzarat. So there's a lota say against cutting it off. Okay, good. That we've solved. So that would mean that then, in Marot Negaim Shtayim Shein Arba, if you cut any one of those off, you violate the law and get makot. Now, it's Yod HaShabbat, my makotika. What kind of makot do you have for carrying on Shabbat? Lav Shintan Lazarat Mitat Beitinu. It is a Lav Shintan Lazarat Mitat Beitin. We have this in makot. A lota say that theoretically could end up is in the context of this a law that you could get killed for. There are no makot, so there cannot be any makot for violation of Shabbat. That's why we established it Karabi Shmuel, because if you remember at the beginning of the third parak of makot in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel was presented as the one who was of the opinion that there are makot, even for chiyuv mitat beitin. So now, halav hachi kamek Rabbi Akiva, but if you didn't have that solution, you'd say that our Mishnah was Rabbi Akiva? After all, kashi diot, we have the problem with the diot. So, lav amar Rabbi Shmuel hi lamalkot, didn't we say, in the context of shvuot, it's Rabbi Shmuel, but it's for makot? Rabbi Akiva nami lamalkot. So say with Rabbi Akiva also, that the problem with the diot is solved, not with korban, with makot, and then do the same thing. So we could have made it Rabbi Akiva. Now, and there's our insistence at the end of last year that it had to be Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Akiva, the defense for making Rabbi Shmuel can be used for Rabbi Akiva also. But that doesn't work, because ihachi yediot hatra'ot mi violate. It shouldn't say yediot tuma, it should say hatra'ot tuma, because makot can only happen if you get hatra'ah. So halokashatani yediot hatra'ot. So maybe it means yediot av hatra'ot, yediot of the warning. So Yachi Shtaim Shein Arba, how can you have Shtaim Shein Arba? Shtaim Hein, there's only two. You're Tamei, or that's a Mikdash. But here's where it becomes difficult. With Shvuot, we have nothing in the rest of our parak about Shvuot. So however we're going to read what the Shvuah is. But Yediot HaTumah, the whole parak is devoted to it. And what's the first presentation about it? If you have Yediyah B'Tchila and Yediyah B'Sof, you forgot in the middle. Halama la malkot mayavite. If you forgot, then what kind of malkot are there? There's never malkot for something you did with lack of awareness. It can only be a korban there. The two, harezav olevi oreid. And then it said, if you do that, you have a korban olevi oreid. That's not malkot. So we were not able to defend it at all. Question is, are we going to still maintain that Rabbi Shmuel could be the author? Rabbi Yosef Rebbe, he said, the author is Rebbe. V'nasiv la'aliba de tanoi. Instead of saying what we did before, which is that Rebbe originally held that Lav Shelo Shein Mamaseh Lokin Alav, and therefore he held like Rabbi Shmuel. And later on in the Masechet, Lav Shein Mamaseh in Lokin Alav, and therefore he held, and that was the position that Rabbi Yochanan later took. Instead, he said very simply, Rebbe himself held like or quoted two different Tanaim, two different schools. Be Yediot Nasiv Lak Rabbi Shmuel. When it came to Yediot Atuma, he took the position of Rabbi Shmuel, or he quoted him. Bishvuot Nasiv Lak Rabbi Akiva. When it came to, oh, this he took the position of Rabbi Akiva, or he quoted the position of Rabbi Akiva. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he accepts that position, but that's the position he quoted, as you'll see right now. Amravashi. So Amrita the Shmata coming to Rav Kahana. I gave this explanation to Rav Kahana, and he said back, don't think that Rebbe was presenting the positions of the Tanaim, but he himself didn't hold from them. Ella, Rebbe, Tami Denafshe Mefarsh. Rebbe really holds this way. Tanya, how do we know? How do I know that you're only chayev? If you have knowledge of your tumah, then you forgot in the middle, and then you knew again, and realized you had violated the mikdash or kodshim. Talmud Lomar v'ne'elam and v'ne'elam, and the two juxtaposed psukim and v'yikrahei, it has the words v'ne'elam. He forgot shnei pi'amim, meaning you originally knew, then you forgot, and that it was ne'elam imenu. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Omer, you know, tzarich, you don't need that. Harehu Omer v'ne'elam michlal di'ada. The fact that it says v'ne'elam implies that you knew and then you forgot. So the first ne'elam already tells you you knew, you forgot, and then obviously you knew again, because otherwise you're not asking a question about what to do. V'hu yada rekan shtei yediot. And when it says v'hu yada v'yashem, he knew, there's your second yediyah. Simen kem al tom lo v'ne'elam. So what do I have the second v'ne'elam for? Achayev al halam tuma v'al halam mikdash. Rebbe says the second ne'elam there is to invert it and say, not only if I forgot I was tameh, but also if I knew I was tameh but forgot about the mikdash. So now we see that Rebbe's own opinion is that yidiyot tumah shtayim shehin arba. It's not that he's quoting Rabbi Shmuel. It's his own position. And by the way, here we also see Rabbi Akiva's position, which is that yidiyot tumah only applies to tumat mikdash v'kodeshav and helem tumah, not helem mikdash. Now, ashkechan b'yidiyot idlei tamid nafshei. So this proves half the equation, which is that Rebbe really holds the position presented in the Mishnah about Yidiyot, like Rabbi Shmuel, but it's his own position. Shvuot leit leitame denav shem inalan. But how do we know that Rebbe really holds the position about Shvuot shtayim shein arba, like Rabbi Akiva, and not like Rabbi Shmuel? The answer is svarahu. It's simply a svara, which is Rabbi Akiva ma'itam alakam achayiv l'shavar. What's the reason that Rabbi Akiva says that you're chayav for Shvuot about the past, which is why we said Rabbi Akiva is the author of the first line, to darsh ribuyu miuti, because, as we'll see later in the Masachet, he learns that from using the system of hermeneutics called ribuyu miut. Rebbe, nami darsh ribuyu miuti, we happen to know that Rebbe also accepts that position. Because we had a general machloka between the school of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how to deal with presentations in the Torah where there are general statements and examples given. Rabbi Yishmael was of the opinion that the general statements are called klal, the examples are given are called prat, and then all of the rules, prat uklal, klal uprat, klal uprat uklal, and the results that we're all familiar with from the famous bright of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, held a different position, which is ribuyu miut. And ribuyu miut, when you have a ribuyu miut for ribuyu, is going to be far more expansive. You're only going to exclude one thing. The miut is there to exclude one thing, as opposed to klal uprat uklal, where the prat guides the klal and limits it far more. So since Rebbe, as we will find out in a minute, himself espouses the position of ribuyu miut, therefore, just like Rabbi Akiva, he will hold that Shvuot Bitui is also relating to the past, and therefore it must be his position. Let's see this. Titania, Rebbe Omer, Bakol Podin B'choradam Chutz Min Ashtarot. You can use any vehicle money or value to redeem B'choradam. The only one you can't do is a shtar. You can't write a shtar, say, worth 5 shkalim. Rabbanan Amir, Bakol Podin B'choradam Chutz Min Avadim U'shtarot V'karkaot. You can use anything except for Shtarot, just like Rebbe, or Avadim Ukarkaot, which shows us that Rebbe's position is far more expansive. In other words, he accepts more things that can be used for Pidyon Bechor. And what's the source of it? Let's see. My Tamid Rebbe, Darish Ribuyu Miuti, because he uses Ribuyu Miut. Uftu Yav Ben Chodesh, take a look at the Pasuk. When we talk about redeeming, it says Uftu Yav Mi Ben Chodesh, you redeem them when they're a month old, Riba, meaning any sort of redemption. Be'er Kachakas of Chameshat Shkalim, you have to use 5 Shkalim of silver, that's a mute, meaning say that and nothing else. But then it says, Tifde chazar v'riba. You have another ribui. Riba umiyet v'riba, riba kol. What's the system of ribui miut? When you have that, then it includes everything. Ribui umiyot v'ribui riba hakol. And you're only might one thing. My riba kol mili. Everything is included. My miyet, what's excluded? Miyet shtarot, one thing is excluded. Rabbanan darshi klal uprati. Rabbanan use klal uprat. Uptuyav men chodesh klal. Prat, meaning it's not a limitation, it's just an example. Tifteh chazar v'chalal. Oh, klal uprat uklal, yatadan eloken prat. What's the rule of klal uprat uklal? You have to use the prat as a guide for what can be included. Ma prat mefurash tavar mital tel v'gufam amon. We'll say this expansively, but it still will limit further. The prat, meaning kesef, is something which is movable and has inherent value. I've called the metaltal v'gufam amon. Therefore, any metaltalin that have inherent value, yatsu karkaot. Therefore, land can't be used. She'er metaltalin. Some metaltal. Yatsu avadim shukshul karkaot. Avadim famously in Parshat Bahar compared to karka. Avadim kananim. And yatsu shtar avish metaltalin in gufam amon. Even though you can move a star and it's metaltalin, nonetheless, it doesn't have inherent value. It's representative value. Okay, but what do we see from here? Our main focus, our main interest here, is that we see that Rebbe utilizes the system ribui umiyut v'ribui and not klal upratu klal. Therefore, since Rabbi Akiva uses ribui umiyut v'ribui to get us to shuat bitui l'sheavar, being equal to shuat bitui l'atid, l'haba, therefore Rebbe should hold the same position, and therefore his position about shvuot should be his own position. But let's see if this really works. Amar li Rav Yonah Meimar, Rebbe darsh ribui umiyut, is that really true? Rebbe Kalu Prati Darsh. We find somewhere else that Rebbe specifically takes the position of Kalu Prat, and just like he did here, Ribu Miut against somebody taking Kalu Prat, he takes the position of Kalu Prat against somebody taking Ribu Miut, Titania. Martzea. This is in Parshat Re, where it talks about the slave who wants to stay with his master and gets his ear drilled. Ainli ala Martzea, I only know you can use an awl. Minay Rabot Hasol Vasira Machat Vamakdeach Machtev. How do I know I can use a drill or a pen or any one of these things, a needle? Talmud Lomar Velakach. It says, Velakach Adonav Talmud Adonav Amartzea. His master shall take Amartzea. Meaning, call the Rabbi Kach Bayad. Anything you take in your hand. To Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says you can use anything. Rabbi Omer, no. It's a call of part of Klal. Martzea. Ma Martzea Miuchad Shamatechet. Just like we know that an awl is metal. Of course, Shamatechet. It has to be metal. It can't be wood or anything else. And in our analysis of this machloket, which only gave the positions and not the process, we said, what's the basis for their disagreement? Rebbe darish kaluprat, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda darish ribui umiyuti. The Rebbe uses kaluprat, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is the one who uses ribui umiyut. Right? And you go through the psukim, and you could see why, but Rebbe says that Martzea is a prat, and therefore, it has to be, anything has to be similar to it. The answer is, in ba'alma kalu prat tidarish. The answer is, Rebbe usually is a fan of the position of kalu prat. He's an adherent to that school. So therefore, we have really one question and still a conundrum. The question is, why does Rebbe use ribui umiyut when it came to pidyon b'chor? And the conundrum still is, or the question is Rebbe's own position similar to that of Rebbe Akiva about shvuot? So the first question is, v'hacha haynu taima, what's the reason that here, meaning in the case of Pidyon Bechor, Rebbe uses ribui umiyut? Ketanid Rebbe Shmuel, because even within the issue of Kol Uprat ribui umiyut, there are nuances. And he holds like the Tanid of Rebbe Shmuel. Tanid Rebbe Shmuel says, b'mayim and b'mayim shnei p'amim ein ze Kol Uprat elo ribui umiyut. He says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra Yidalf, that talks about kosher fishes, it uses the word b'mayim twice. He says, don't apply the system of kalu prat. Don't see that as two klalim. Rather, ribui miut. Because whenever it's the same word twice, it's not a klal anymore. Now it's a ribui. So even Rabbi Shmuel, who is the proponent of this kalu prat system, will not say that when it's the same word. And therefore, in the case of Pidyon Bechor, where it says tifdeh, it's like b'mayim b'mayim. Therefore, he says, in that case, I have to use ribui umiyut. Now, Rabbanan, why do the Rabbanan there disagree and say even that's a klal uprat? Ravina, k'damrim marava, k'makom shatamotzei, shtei klalot asmuchot zel azeh, when you have two klalot next to each other, hatel prat beneim v'duneim klalot prat. Take the prat that's afterwards and stick it in the middle and judge it as a klalot prat. So therefore, the Rabbanan will say, uftuyav ben chodesh, that pasuk about pidyon b'chor really is a klalot prat uklal. But the issue is, hashtad amrat, Rebbe klalot prati dar, since Rebbe himself generally will do klalot prat, therefore he has to be a follower of Rabbi Shmuel when it comes to Shvuot, and he should hold that Shvuot really do not count for korban as a shvuot pitui if they are about to pass. Balkorcha kasha shvuot. So the ela b'shvuot nasi v'liv de Rabbi Kiva v'leilo sfirale. We have to go back to our original position, which is that against Rav Kahana, which is that Rebbe really does not agree with the halacha that shvuot shtayim shein arba for korban olav yored. He's quoting Rabbi Kiva, but he himself doesn't hold that position. Okay, now gufa minayin sheno chayiv alal sheish by yidiyah b'tchil v'yidiyah b'sof ha'elam b'entayim. So go back to the earlier comment that we had, which is about yidiyot ha'tumah, that you're only chayav if you knew, forgotten, and then knew. Tamalom v'ne'elam v'ne'elam, shnei pamim v'rekiva. Rekiva says from the two words v'ne'elam. Remeinu tzaricha v'remeir v'ne'elam michal tshiyadai. It says v'ne'elam by itself means, doesn't mean you knew and then forgot. It inherently means you knew. It's Vanelam doesn't have to provide us with knowledge, and then the second Vanelam you forgot. The Vanelam itself means you knew, because Vanelam means you forgot. It was away from you. V'hu yada, rekan shtei yediot. That's Rebbe. Now, imken ratam on the Vanelam, achai v'alhalam tumah v'alhalam mikdash. That's why Rebbe uses the second Vanelam to push us to the Shehen Arba. Now, Amar Mar. Vanelam ichlal shiyada. My mashma, how do you get that? Amar Rava midalokti v'hi aluma mimenu. If you say it's aluma mimenu, it is disappeared from you, it is away from your knowledge, then I would say maybe that means you never knew. Ne'elam mimenu means it became disappeared from your knowledge. It was something you knew and you didn't know. So if you're going to say ne'elam means it's something you knew and then forgot, how are you going to deal with that in the case of Sota, where it says if the woman has an affair with somebody and it's not known to her husband? It sounds like that he originally knew she was having an affair and then he forgot about it. In that case, the whole system doesn't work. That the man will be cleansed from his sin and the woman will bear her sin. And what's that? What's the drasha? That famous drasha we saw throughout Sota. Bizman sha'ishmin ukemiavon hamayimod kimetishto. Only when he is cleansed does the water work, which means if he's a sinner, in this context, the water doesn't work. And if he has continued to have relations with her after he knew she was having an affair, then he's a sinner, it's not going to work. In Iyov, talking about wisdom and about Torah, it's beyond the capabilities of all chai, but it's disappeared from them. Did somebody originally really know it that well? Nobody ever knew its value. So you can't say v'ne'elam always means you knew and then forgot. Sometimes it could mean you never knew. And that, by the way, that's all we need, is if it's sometimes it means you never knew, you need it twice, and Rebbe's drush is a little bit difficult. When you knew something as a kid, meaning you were taught it as a kid in your cheder, that's called yediyah, even though when now you're in the circumstance you never knew about it, that's still called yediyah. And therefore, everybody knew about the laws of Tuma, and therefore, v'ne'elam now means you knew and then forgot. So Papa then turns to Abaye and says, according to your very unusual take on what yediyah means, how could you ever talk about a case with ein yediyah batchila, which we dealt with in the Mishnah? We haven't yet studied the Mishnah here in this series, but ein yediyah batchila means you never knew that you were tamei. Everybody learned this halacha at some point. The answer is in mishkachal v'tinok shinish balavin anochir. If you have a kid who was taken from the Jews and brought up by non-Jews, never knew anything, has no education, then indeed he didn't have yediyah beit rabo. Okay, we're briefly going to essay the last two clauses of the first Mishnah, one which will end this podcast, the next one which will make up all the whole next podcast, and then we will get into the rest of the parak, at which point we'll go back and read the rest of the Mishnayot instead of the rest of the Mishnayot of the parak. Now we said, Yisiyot Shabbat Shtayim Shein Arba. Now Tan Hatam, in Masachet Shabbat, we said, Yisiyot Shabbat Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Chutz. In Masachet Shabbat, we said, that there are two which are for inside and two which are for outside. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe an ani standing outside and a balabait inside, and the ani reaches in and puts something in the balabait's hand or takes from his hand or reaches out, etc. Now, Mishnah Acha the Tanish Taim Shein Arba Betulo. Mishnah Atam the Tanish Taim Shein Arba Befim Shtaim Shein Arba Bachutz. This is, sounds similar, but it's not the same question that we had at the beginning of the Gemara, which asked why we had the entire presentation here and we didn't have the entire presentation in Shabbat. There we were asking why we didn't include Marot Negaim and Shvuot in Shabbat. Here we're asking something else. Why is the Shtaim Shehen Arba here in Shvuot just Shtaim Shehen Arba, and in Shabbat it's Shtaim Shehen Arba Bifnim, Shtaim Shehen Arba Chutz, and there's twice as much information. The answer is quite obvious, which is Hatam De'ikar Shabbatu. That's Masachet Shabbat. And therefore, Tani Avot V'Toladot. So, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, we're now going to say, are the Avot. Shtayim Shein Arba Chutz are the Toladot, or something like that, or the two Shtayims are the Avot. We're not clear on this, as we'll see in a minute, but Hachar L'Avikar Shabbat to Avot Tani V'Toladot L'Tani. But here, where it's not mainly Shabbat, all we did was the Avot, Shtayim Shein Arba. Now, Avot Maininu, what are the Avot? Yitziot, it's transferring something from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. Yitziot Tarte Havin, there's only two Yitziot, which is taking it in or taking it out. The answer is Vechitema, Me'an Lechiyuv, Me'an Leptur. Maybe it's Shtayim Shein Arba means two for which you chayiv, and then another two for which you be potter if you did half the action. Take a look at the beginning of Masachet Shabbat. Ve'adum Edemarot Negaim Tani, this we've already dealt with. Our Mishnah is presented just like Marot Negaim. Ma'atam Kul Lechiyuv, just like Marot Negaim, all of them are Lechiyuv. They're all valid Negaim. Vachakul Lechiyuv, same thing here. El Amar Papa Hatam Deikar Shabbat Tani Chiyuv Yupturi. The answer is that in Masachet Shabbat, because it's Shabbat, we learn the ones for which you're chayv and the ones for which you're patur. And there, as an example, when the ani picks it up and puts it inside, but the balabai takes it from his hand, they're both patur because they each did half a malacha. But here, hacha the chiyuv iktani p'turei lo k'tani. Here, we only learn the chiyuvim and not the p'turim. Now, chiyuvim aninu. What are the chiyuvim? Yitziot. Yitziot tartahu davin. Now, we're going to say that yitziot, which means exiting, can only be two things. If the man on the inside pushes it out, or the man on the outside pulls it out. That's yitziyah. So how can you have shtayim shein arba? The answer is shtayim dotzah, shtayim nachmasah. The answer is that bringing something inside is also called a yitziyah, which sounds strange because yitziyah means to leave. So we'll explain it. Vayitziyok tani. Rashi tana achasah na meyotzah karila. Our tana uses the word yitziyah to refer also to achasah, which means putting it into reshut yachid. And what's his proof? That none, the last one of the 39 avot malachot in that famous Mishnah in Shabbat, Perek Zayin, is Hamotzi Mirshut Lirshut. If you take it out from one Rishut to another, Mi Lo Kaskin and the Kama Ayale Yuli, aren't we talking about a case where the guy is bringing it in, and we still call it Hamotzi, Kari La Otsa'ah, so come up, pick Mirshut Echad Shabbim. Maybe it's talking about a case where you're taking it out. So Imken, Tani, Litni, Hamotzi Mirshut Ayachid Shabbim. Then why is Hamotzi Mirshut Lirshut, which makes it sound like either direction, you have it be Hamotzi Mirshut Ayachid Shabbim, which means only going out. So therefore, my Mirshut Lirshut, Afilu Mirshut Ayachid, Mirshut Ayachid, Kakari Lahotza'ah. So when the Tana says Hamotzi Mirshut Lirshut, he's referring to going either in or out, and it's still called Hamotzi. So Yitziot means going out of your domain to another domain, even if it's out of the outside into the inside, it's still out. It's still going out. The time am I? So Tana kolakar chetzim kol otzah karila. Anytime you take something away from its domain, it's called otzah. Because think about it: if you're in reshut harabim and you bring it inside, you are being motzim reshut harabim. You're taking it out of that domain. Yes, from a geographic perspective, if you will, or a locale perspective, you're bringing it in, not taking it out. You don't generally say when somebody's outside your house, come out for him to enter the house. On the other hand, he is exiting the public domain. And now we have support for this. Amravina matnitin amideka. The Mishnah in Shabbat is good proof for that. The Tani, Yitziot Shabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Chutz. It listed that. V'kama mefaresh, achnasa. And the first example that it gives is the ani on the outside putting something inside. So it says Yitziot Shabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba, and the examples it gives are ones of achnasa. Shmamina. So we see that. And one last comment of Rava, which is not really an answer here. Take a look at Tosfot to comments on this. Rishiyot Tani. When we say Shtayim, Rishiyot Shabbat Shtayim. That there are two Rishiyot of Shabbat, Shtaim Shein Arba. And there's two ways to read Shtaim Shein Arba. Shtaim, Shutei Achid or Shutei Arbim, which devolved now into four and kinds of Chiyuvim, which is pushing it out, pulling it out, pushing it in, pulling it in. Or Shtaim Shein Arba, some read it as being the Shtaim or Shutei Achid or Shutei Arbim, which there are another two Rishiyot that are Ptur, Karmelita Makom Ptur. Both of those reads are very difficult because then it doesn't at all match with the rest of the Mishnah, where the Shtaim Shein Arba, the Arba include the Shtaim, the Arba aren't separate from the Shtaim. If you say Rishiyot Shabbat Shtaim and Shein Arba means there's four different kind of Chiyuvim, then the two are not part of the four. The two are sort of the basis for the four, but they're not part of the system of the four, and therefore it's a little bit difficult. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and as I mentioned, the next podcast will be devoted to Marot Negaim, and then we will move to Yediyot HaTumah. We should have a wonderful day.